814 podcast. It's just Johnny and Avery. JR is driving across the country from Toronto to LA. I actually don't know where he is. Do you know where he is, Avery? I know he's in Chicago a couple days ago.
So I knew they're doing like Chicago, Omaha, Colorado, Vegas, LA, I think is the trip.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, JR is driving across the country. Yeah, you hate to see it. I mean, it's just me and Avery. We'll have JR back there. So if you're listening to this right now, can someone make a graphic of the people in the clouds? Like you have Chubbs, the alligator from Happy Gilmore, then JR. So if you're listening to this, someone do that. So Avery, how are you doing, buddy?
Good. Flew into Miami last night. Fuck, is it ever hot here, man. Holy
really?
Shit. Yeah. I mean, we play golf at 7:15 this morning. Drenched in sweat by 8 o'clock. It's gross out here. A little different than the Cabo heat. Pretty fucked thing to say. Back-to-back weekends on the road. But my brother pitched last night against Miami. I missed it.
Did he get dog walked?
He was on suicide watch when he picked me up from the airport. So it's always nice to talk him off the ledge in person instead of through text, which is nice.
Yeah, and if you're watching this right now, I look fucking incredible. I mean, I have a new webcam now. It's insane how clear I look. So if you're watching on the YouTube, you can see this. I just have one bugaboo. I don't know how to center the camera. It keeps turning on me, but it's fine. I'll figure it out. Terrible week. Terrible fucking week for the Toronto Blue Jays. Avery was watching at the airport yesterday. You hate to see it. I mean, should we just flush the series? It never happened. Where do you stand with this? Because that was rat shit. That was terrible.
We can't be flushing series or the season goes to waste. Like we can't have two series flushed in a matter of 7 days. And that's exactly what we're having to do at this point. But a split, we would have been fine. Like if Romano gets three outs in the ninth, this is a whole different talk. And it's okay, you split with one of the better lineups in all of baseball. For me, you can't flush it. It's baseball. But for the team going through an absolute gauntlet of a schedule right now, tough loss definitely yesterday.
You know how to get over this loss is by going to your local Spotify, searching Gate 14 summer playlist, shuffling it, sitting back, relaxing, having a couple beers with the boys. That's how you flush this series. Good little mix in there for me. But yeah, we did it. I finally made the Spotify playlist. I'm getting DMs about it. The Gate 14 summer playlist. I mean, we got everything here. We got a little classic rock, Blink 182, Alan Jackson, Dust on the Bottle, Morgan Wallen. We got everything. We got house music. We have every single thing in there to feed the needs of all the people. I hope you guys enjoy it. Maybe send us some videos of you guys blasting the Gate 14 playlist at a party this summer or even in May, I guess. Is May summer? Are we in the summer right now? Is that?
Feels like summer.
Yeah, this is summer. But yeah,
I'm going to look at the playlist now. I had no part of making this.
I'm going to add you to. Do you have Spotify?
I'm not a peasant, man. I use Apple Music.
I unsubscribed from Spotify or unsubscribed from Apple Music just so I could make this playlist for the people. So I re-downloaded Spotify for the people.
This actually isn't bad. I'll give you that.
It's a good playlist. I think the people are going to enjoy it, except maybe like the old heads and stuff like that that listen to this. But
yeah, if you're over 25, don't listen.
No, but I would say probably 28 to 30. If you're over like 30, don't listen to it. But no, it's a good playlist.
Fortunate Son here is just an all-time banger.
You had to. I know music. Johnny Music. I know the music tracks. I know what the kids are listening to nowadays. I'm dialed in. But before we talk about the baseball stuff, go into the series and all that type of stuff, couple things. JR, and this is a little tidbit, little snippet for the people. JR is designing a Corona Lounge collection for the people out there to actually like a going out shirt, a Gate 14 going out shirt. And I'm just going to, it fucks. It is going to be absolutely incredible. I cannot wait for the people to see the Corona Lounge falling in love shirt. I don't know if we could call it that. Maybe will it be like a cease and desist? Maybe
100%.
Yeah, with that.
Yo, that's what I said because I didn't know what the shirt was.
Yeah,
and I asked you guys. I said, how are we going to make this shirt without getting sued? And you kind of laughed at me because I didn't. I understand what it's going to say now, but you definitely can't put Corona on it anywhere. But if we do do a nice little spinoff of a low. You guys are going to love this shit. It might be misinterpreted for actual high fashion. That's how nice this shirt is.
So JR was like a little bit kind of a chirp to us. He's like, do you guys know any good looking dudes that can model this stuff? Cause it's kind of like a high end thing. And I first thing that came to mind is my buddy Ryan Stark. And I'll be honest with you, this guy is a man rocket. One of the best looking dudes to ever do it. So I texted him. He bought previously.
I feel like we should have bad looking dudes wear it.
No, but you need a little bit of mixture of both. You need a new face to the society. So I told him about that.
We need someone else pretending to play third base is what.
Yeah. I need someone else doing that. But yeah, so a lot of good stuff coming out, a lot of good news. A couple other things. Me and Avery will be going to the Blue Jays.
I don't want to fucking do it, man.
You're gonna have to.
There's nothing I want to do less than full jersey game. I can't believe I shouldn't have, like, I didn't want to say yes, but.
So if you're listening to this and you have no idea, you're not on Twitter or Instagram or TikTok. I mean, I posted it everywhere. Me and Avery will be wearing full jerseys to Jays Yankees on Tuesday. And our camera guy, Jonah, is going to be there with us. I think Avery, I soaked the tickets to the Rays game. So you're going to have to get these tickets and announce the section we're sitting in. Is that cool?
Yeah, I might not announce the section. We might just show up. You have to come find us.
Where's Waldo? We'll do a Where's Waldo, especially with that. But yeah, we'll have a camera guy, Jonah, following us. We haven't done a vlog in a while. I said a while, probably like 3 weeks. But we will be doing the full uniform vlog. And I'm going to say it right now. It's going to be better than the first one. Me and you in full uniforms on Looney Dog night. It's going to be a fucking catastrophe. I honestly, I'm pumped for it. And the people are pumped for it. And you want to know one guy that's pumped for it? Happens to be the best bullpen pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays right now. Eric Swanson via DMs was saying, I need the full uniform game to us. So all time.
Going to say no to a guy like that?
Yeah, you can't say no to Eric Swanson. So we're Eric Swanson guys through and through now, obviously. We're getting him gear. There's going to be a picture of me and Avery and him on the field sooner than later at some point. I'm pumped for it. But yeah, he is a avid Gate 14 guy. Thinks we're funny. He loves us. I was just shooting the shit with him via DMs and stuff like that. So you just love to see that type of shit. So the full uniform game is going to be coming. You're going to love to see it. And Eric Swanson said, we're going to get a win for you guys in the full uniform. That's what he says. And we don't want you going home sad.
Was extra innings lost to Boston last year.
Yes.
Right?
And Barnes or whatever. Is it Barnes?
Matt Barnes.
Who's that relief pitcher that hit? He hit Verdugo with the bases loaded. And then it just, the floodworks were open. I don't know. Oh, I don't remember.
Barnes on the Jays.
Yeah. Barnes on the Jays. I don't remember who it was, but yeah, that was nightmare fuel. That was absolutely nightmare fuel. Another thing, I had to buy a jersey for a listener. Shout out Fluffy Shark, who is always tuning in. And I got to say this. There was like 90 people watching the stream. And then when Belt hit that home run, 70 weasels ran into the goddamn YouTube live stream because they knew the Brandon Belt jersey was going to be given away. You think, Johnny, you think I would have saw that and been like, yeah, sure, I'll give it to the people that just all of a sudden are starting to talk now in the chat. No. Fluffy has been grinding with the Gate 14 boys. He's in every single stream. I know there's other guys. I'm addicted to jersey streams. I know who's riding with us. I know who the OG commenters are. Trust me. If you thought that was the last Brandon Belt jersey giveaway with a home run, you got no idea, brother. I'm addicted to it.
You soaked $200 on it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Johnny Moneybags. Holy shit.
For the people. Think I'm not going to do it? It brings more eyes to the podcast. And it was electric. I mean, everyone was flocking to the stream after that happened. So, I mean, you love to see it. Hashtag thank you, Johnny. But yeah, congratulations, Fluffy Shark, man. That was the name that I had in the back of my mind when I was doing the giveaway. I was like, this guy's getting the jersey. Let's keep
Wait,
this on.
So you rigged it?
No, I didn't rig it. I was just looking at who was in the stream at the entire time because I knew people were going to enter. Is that, what do you mean rig it? What are you talking about rig it?
How did you choose the winner?
I chose the winner because I had the winner. I picked the winner at the start of the stream in my mind.
So you rigged it.
I did not rig it.
That's exactly what happened.
How was that rigging? I didn't want no fake motherfucker who just hops in the stream when the home run gets hit.
It would have been nice for you to write down, say, 30 of the people who are commenting in chat and done the little wheel, you know?
I'll do that for the next one. Like I said, I'm addicted to jersey giveaways.
I think you have to redo this one.
No.
Yes.
Shut up. No.
100%. You fucked it.
No, I did not fuck that. congratulations, Fluffy Shark. I'm not going to fall for this from Avery. That's just not going to happen. So, congratulations to Fluffy Shark. I can't believe you.
You're not a man of integrity if you legit just made up who was going to win. That's not how giveaways work.
That's exactly how giveaways work. Just stop. All right. I'm not going to finesse another Brandon Bell jersey and send it to goddamn Saskatchewan. Why the fuck do you live in Saskatchewan, Fluffy?
That's where
Shark?
He's from.
Yeah. I typed in the first address and Fanatics was like, yeah, we just don't send this here. We just don't send this to this location. It was an absolute nightmare from there. So Fluffy, we got to be better. Here comes the camera again. Fucking not being center. All right. Yeah. So let's go into the games, man. Let's go into the games. Game one. That game sucked. That was an absolute waxing. Where are we here with Alek Manoah, man? Because you and I were watching that together. His slider is cat shit. It is absolutely cat shit. The last
And it is not just bad. It's historically bad now.
Historically bad. And a Chris Black, shout out our guy Chris Black. He came up with a stat. He has thrown 64 sliders until he got his first swing and miss since his last swing and miss. So there was a swing and miss in like late April against the Mariners in the fourth inning. Until now, he threw 64 sliders and didn't get one swing and miss. What are we doing? What the fuck?
How does that even happen? Because his run value on sliders last season wasn't that bad.
So no, I think he was like top of the league, right? I think it was one of the best pitches.
Yeah, he had. I'm going to go run values. So last season, his slider had a run value of -6, which is okay. Like, pretty good, actually. His four-seamer had a run value of -18, which is elite. Really good. And then this season, his slider has a run value of 11. What? Like, how does that even happen?
So that's what, an 18 difference?
Yeah. Yeah, and run value. I don't really know how that's calculated that much. But the run value per 100 is ugly. Last season, the run value per 100 pitches, I believe that's what the 100 stands for, -0.8. This season is 5.
Jesus Christ.
I don't understand, because I don't see the hard hit percentage, 39% this year. Last year, 22.7%. The ex WOBA on it, last season, 272. This year, 362. Strikeout percentage, it's okay. The whiff percentage, a lot worse this year too. Down like
so it's just points. Every single pitch has just been terrible. And let's do a hashtag confidence level here. Is Kikuchi ahead of Manoah right now? I don't even think that's a hot take. I think he is, obviously. Right?
Yeah.
Like, in my mind, I think I said this last week or to Kevin G.O.D. I think it goes Gausman, Bassett, Kikuchi / Berríos. I don't know. You can kind of flip-flop.
I'll go Berríos over him.
Berríos, Kikuchi, Manoah. That's what the confidence rating is. Because Manoah has been terrible this year. And when he is good, don't get me. He's not good. He's walking a shit ton of guys. It's not like he is blowing shit by hitters. He's walking a ton of guys. His command is absolutely terrible.
Yeah, he's getting even less break on his slider this year than last year. So last season, his slider had 6.1 inches of horizontal movement more than the average. This year, 3.8. So there's just some weird things going on with it. Last year, yeah, his slider was harder, I guess. But it's just really weird. The command has been fucking piss poor. You look at his Baseball Savant page, I understand that's not just real baseball that you have to watch with your eyes sometimes too. His strikeout rate, 17th percentile. His walk rate, 14th percentile. Isn't getting whiffs, getting hit super hard. His expected ERA is worse than his actual ERA, I'm almost positive. Yeah, so his ERA is 4.83, and he's still gotten lucky somehow this season because his expected ERA is 6.32.
I have a crazy old head stat. He has made 8 starts this year, right? 8 starts. In 5 of them, he has 4 or more walks given up. In 5 of them, more than 50% of the games he started, he's given up 4 or more walks. And by the way, that's not even counting hit by pitches, where he hits a million guys.
He led the AL 2 straight seasons in hit by pitches.
So what I'm saying is like, is his ERA whatever? I guess it's like you could say it's decent for like a 5 guy maybe. But he is so wild. And we chirped Hubs for that pitch clock take, rightfully so, because he had no stats to back it up. It's 100% affecting him. Let's not beat around the bush, right? It's 100% affecting.
You came out with the stat that he was super slow last season. And now, okay, let's look at some similar pitchers to Alek Manoah based on this season, kind of it's like velocity movement stuff. Ryan Tepera, Cabrera, 2022 Tyler Anderson, and 2022 Carl Edwards Jr.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I feel like
this... I did on purpose leave out 2022 Tony Gonsolin, but...
we got to clip this entire segment and just like make it a YouTube video itself, because this has to be discussed. These stats are fucking terrible. I'm not giving up on him by any means, man. I'm not. It's just, sooner than later, he's going to have to clean it up, right?
Yeah.
I can't believe we're still in May here and he is still walking the house. And to be honest, he's not making any adjustments. He's doing the same thing every single start. What's that?
Definitely in game, it doesn't look like it, but I'm sure he's doing something every start to tinker or try and change what's been going on.
For sure. I don't know. It's just something
to look at here, because he was a guy who was like, yeah, let's keep the ball in the yard. Hard hit. Isn't getting hit hard most of the time. So in 2021, he was 93rd percentile in hard hit percentage against. Last season, 92nd percentile. And then this year, 30th percentile. And it doesn't.
I don't know.
And he's not one of these effectively wild guys like Kikuchi is. Not that you can say that's a redeeming quality of some pitchers. But for Kikuchi, it works. For Alek Manoah, it does not work at all. And again, he gave up that cat shit home run to Castellanos out in front, which I thought was a half-decent pitch. Maybe caught more of the plate than he would wanted. Kind of too much in the heart. But Castellanos' home run was like an 080 expected average on it. It was just popped up and got out. But it's tough to watch, man.
And let's discuss more into this game. John Schneider is fucking brain dead, right? My friend TB texted me about this. He said, in what world does it make sense pinch hitting your three-hole hitter? He pinch hit Dalton Varsho. I don't give a fuck if it's lefty-lefty, whatever it is. He pinch hits Dalton Varsho, but doesn't pinch hit Santiago Espinal at the bottom of the order because George Springer is sick. What are you doing? What other team on the planet pinch hits their three-hole hitter? For a guy who can't play because he is sick, who missed the next 2 games because he is sick, why are we forcing George Springer in the lineup with the bases loaded, who, by the way, had one of the worst at-bats my 4 eyes have ever seen?
Oh, my God. That first swing that he had was horrendous.
It's like Dalton Varsho has played the entire game. He obviously has a feel for the at-bats. Was he raking? No, but I mean, he's 1-for-3, whatever. I don't care if it's lefty-lefty, whatever. You don't put a cold guy who is sick off of the bench into a spot with the bases loaded, man. What are you doing, John Schneider? And you're not doing it for your three-hole hitter either, because now Springer couldn't play the field because he was sick. My tummy hurt. He couldn't play because he was sick. So you have to burn a pinch hitter with Springer and then burn another guy and have, you know, put Kevin Biggio in right field in the three-hole. You're going to put Kevin Biggio in the three-hole.
That's where he belongs, though.
According to Blue Jays dad.
Dalton Varsho hits .259 against lefties this year, .226 against righties. Again, 4 times the amount of at-bats against righties, but still, he's put up a decent fight here against lefties. Gregory Soto's not a normal lefty either. That is an impossible.
But that's at-bat. Another fact, though. Like, why are you putting George Springer in a situation to face a nasty lefty like that, right?
Yeah, well, you'd think career stats-wise, I'd guess Springer's a splits guy. Normal splits, better against lefties than he is righties.
Maybe he is.
I'll look it up here. I'm on the case right
Maybe
now.
Maybe he is, man. I just, like I said, I don't get the reasoning behind him, man. I really don't. Like,
so yeah, he's hitting 242 against lefties, 198 against righties so far this season.
Yeah.
And then career wise, my internet's working overtime here. Yeah, that doesn't.
It's just
work.
Whatever it is, man. In my opinion, it was
he hits
dunk.
271 against lefties, 265 against righties. So
yeah,
I don't. Dalton Varsho had to be in the three hole because George Springer wasn't playing. Right. That's kind of how things went. So
yeah.
That's unfortunately how things had to shake out that way, and it was just shitty that it was the worst at bat actually of all time.
I couldn't believe it. It was bad. It was like it was really bad, man. I just don't know. It's, and then another thing that really pissed me off is, and this is what I made a Twitter video about in that game. So this is going to piss me off to even talk about this. So Trevor Richards has a pretty much an immaculate inning for Trevor Richards. He faces the top three hitters in the Phillies, strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. Bryce Harper back pocket, Trey Turner back pocket. I don't know. I think Bryson, he struck out as well. And then John Schneider had the intentions of putting in Eric Swanson in the eighth inning because the game was tied or it was close or whatever it was. I think it was tied. I think they were up one or it was tied. He has aspirations of putting in Eric Swanson. He says, fuck it. I'm going to put back Trevor Richards out there and just let's hope he does fine. He gets one out and gives up the bases fucking loaded. And Eric Swanson is coming in. Like, what am I doing here? I'm coming in with the bases loaded situation against the fucking one of the best lineups in baseball. And he obviously had just a double in the gap, all that type of stuff. And the game got out of hand. I just don't know what John Schneider's doing. Like, maybe you could talk me into that. What is the decision there to double shift Trevor Richards and be like, oh, he was good this inning. He's definitely going to be good next inning, with the intentions of going with Eric Swanson, though. I don't get why he had to get greedy with that. That was so dumb.
It's kind of like a relief when Trevor Richards pitches really well. So I don't know why he would have gone back to him the second time there. And you just had an off day. It's a two-game set where you're going to have another off day. You saving and trying to push guys doesn't make sense to me in that situation as well. And it got out of hand and fucked him again. It's, for me, it's John Schneider can't be doing all of this because it is so like Charlie Montoyo that it's just cut from the same cloth. It's someone else is making these decisions because the modern manager doesn't make lineups, doesn't do stuff like they used to, right? It's not just Jim Leland sitting, smoking cigs, writing the lineup every day. They have an analytics team. They have guys who are making the lineup. You're basically just there to be a likable person, keep some people accountable, and that's it. Pete Walker seems to be making all the pitching choices, it seems like, with a little bit of help from someone else, and they just don't consistently go well in big situations.
Yeah, I don't get it. And then Jays obviously got their dick shoved in that game, whatever. That game, you could chalk it up to baseball.
That was another like bow kind of masterclass.
Yeah, 2-for-5 with a nuke and a double.
Okay, so I understand George Springer wants to hit leadoff. Bo Bichette should be getting the most at-bats on this team consistently.
And it's not even close. Like, George Springer, at some point, he's hitting worse than Kevin Kiermaier. And I know he's going to heat up soon. Obviously, that's what George Springer does. He's a great hitter. But, fuck, he is terrible right now. He's hard to watch.
He's hurting the team more than he's helping.
And I don't know. It's just, it's really bad. His at-bats are just unserious, uncompetitive.
But it's just awesome having Bo in the one hole. It does kind of.
It's cool to have Bo lead off. It sucks because his RBIs aren't going to be there like they have been previous years, I think. But Bo Bichette.
But if he can just drive himself in, those are RBIs. Just keep hitting nukes.
That game bomb was a masterclass. A little 2-for-5 day with a nuke and a double against Aaron Nola, who's a great pitcher, who's obviously been scuffling a little bit. But yeah, it was just that game. You could just chalk it up to the baseball. Yesterday's game was inexcusable. I mean, talk about this.
Why was it inexcusable? Because I think
it was inexcusable because the offense, your pitcher who continuously gives you zeros,
I gotta do the episode run support Kevin Gausman thing.
What are we doing here, Avery? Like, Kevin Gausman goes six scoreless. All right, six scoreless against a very good lineup, and the best you could get the guy is one fucking run. And there was tons of chances yesterday, man. Like that, it just that's the frustrating part, man. It's just, if I'm Kevin Gausman, I'm doing that verbal meme where I'm just fucking punching everyone in the dugout, like just walking around the dugout, just slapping everyone. Like, that's what I have to do. It just, it's crazy because he never gets run support ever. And when he does, he gives up a seven spot in the first and then goes zero for the rest of the game, man. I can't believe it. It's that game yesterday was flashback to the wild card game where it was just like John Schneider pinch hits Alejandro Kirk for Kevin Kiermaier, who's the most consistent hitter on the team right now, like one of them instead of Espinal. Just so many mishaps there from John Schneider. I mean, Romano, we'll have that discussion in a second here, but that bases loaded or that pinch hit in extra innings, pinch hitting Kirk for Kiermaier instead of Espinal. Where does that rank for you on like, what the fuck are we doing? Like decisions. Where does that rank for you? That's like, do you think Kevin Kiermaier as a vet was like, what are we doing, dude? What are we doing? Why am I getting pinch hit for? Why not the guy in front of me who's the human out? Why is he not getting pinch hit for?
That's like a 70 out of 10 dumb decision on my scale. That was fucking horrible. I didn't understand it at all. Kevin Gausman, 12th least run support. Anyone with five starts this season.
I can't believe that. Yeah, it's just. But we got to have the discussion now, Abe.
No, I don't want to have this discussion. Obviously, it needs to be had, but I don't really think there's a discussion, man.
He is. You could show me all the red in his Baseball Savant page, and I was talking about this in the spaces yesterday, Avery.
It's more like just talk about saves. He's up there.
Okay, you're talking me off the ledge here. Is this what we're going to do? We're going to have a little discourse here. I'll be the devil's advocate.
Well, the only person I'd want closing on this team besides Jordan Romano right now doesn't even play for the team. It's Liam Hendricks. So
what about, wait, Eric Swanson? What?
Eric Swanson's awesome at what he does. I don't want him to leave that role.
Okay, but hear me out, though. Hear me out. And I made this point on the spaces yesterday. And I know that this dude was a human piece of shit. Roberto Osuna, a piece of shit, right?
Yeah.
No, but hear me out. This is just my thought process here. When Roberto Osuna stepped on the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays in 2015, 2016, was there any doubt this dude wasn't going to get a save? Was there any doubt in the back of your mind this dude's going to fuck this up?
I mean,
no, there wasn't. Every single time Romano steps on the mound, you're looking at me and you cannot look at me in the eyes and say there's not a little bit of doubt that there is going to be a fucking meltdown here. Because that's two in the last week, right? Okay, that's all I'm saying is the Jays just don't have, you could show me all the fucking numbers in the world, man. It's just Romano makes me nervous when he comes in to close baseball games.
Okay. Roberto Osuna is just it's just someone you're thinking of that you thought was like unhittable all the time. 2017, he blew 10 saves.
What about 2016?
Six saves he blew.
That, like, okay, maybe I'm just connecting it with a good teammate. I'm just, in my mind, I don't know what it is.
We'll compare stats here. I won't say that, but.
I'm just saying, man, like as the fan base, like just as fans, throw the numbers out the window. You can comment below, tweet at us below. When Romano comes into baseball games, there is more of a self-doubt than there was before, than there is with guys like on other teams, that like other closers. I don't know, man.
I'm almost positive besides like Emmanuel Clase, there's a couple other guys. Everyone feels this way about their closer. Everyone in baseball.
No, maybe you're right. I don't know. Like I said, you could be right with that, man.
So last year, Romano, six blown saves.
Okay.
The year before, he had 23 saves, only blew one save.
Okay, maybe I'm an idiot. This is the point of the podcast. It's two brains going at it. I could just be speaking.
I'm at the same point where He just seems to make it interesting all the time.
Every time, man. It's like yesterday when he gives up that middle cock shot to Bryce Harper, that Bryce Harper hits 115 up to like
that single, never a doubt. So
it was just, in my mind, I was like, here we go. Here we go. It's never a clean slate. And I know that was a tough part of the lineup to face. I'm not an idiot.
It might be the best part of a lineup in the whole league.
Yes. And I understand that. I understand that. It's just, can we get just an easy save? It feels so long, maybe because we've only won three games in the last like 10 days, maybe. I don't know, man. It's just like, he just gives me weird vibes lately when he's on the mound. I don't know what it is. I'm not giving up on him. I'm not giving up on Manoa either, obviously. It just, yesterday was really bad. Yesterday was when you is an opportunity to put your balls on the table and do it. And I know a lot of people aren't blaming him. Espinal, that play up the middle, man. What the fuck? What was that, Ave?
That was almost,
what was that?
I almost thought it was on Bo. Not saying it as a slight to Bo, but Bo kind of took steps towards the middle of the field instead of hit it going to the bag. And Harper had a pretty good jump there on that one. It's just a play needs to be made by your defense to help you make like win games in that situation, right? That was a losing play that didn't help the team at all. I'm going through Romano's game logs. He pitched 11 innings in April. He gave up 10 hits. So it's like, he is giving up hits, 4 walks in those innings. He is getting some base runners, more than a base runner per inning. His whip, 1.24. This month, his whip is 1.88. It's just, you got it. It's such a tough role to do, right? And do it consistently well. And he's shown the numbers. He gets the saves. He's one of the best since he's become the closer in the American League at getting saves. I think it's just, you talk to any fucking team in baseball, they feel this way about their closer.
Okay, that I guess besides Emmanuel Clase, and that obviously makes sense. But
there's some, I mean, Kenley Jansen too. I mean, what
99 now? I don't get what's going on there in Boston. But yeah, I guess that's a good point to make, Ave. Maybe that'll help me out a little bit. It's just I don't know, man. It's just,
but I guess yeah, I'm also not disagreeing with you where it does. We're not feeling as comfortable as you'd like to, but. His average exit velocity against is the 99th percentile.
Yeah, for sure. That makes sense. It's
he's a good pitcher, and I think any team would want Jordan Romano as their back end guy. It's
just, for sure. No, for sure. That's a good point. It's just, yeah, it's just been a weird couple of weeks. I'm obviously, this is just a really bad road trip, a really bad stretch. I mean, I think they went 3-6. Not great. Not fucking great. I don't know. It just, we'll see what happens. I mean, tough series coming up this weekend, man. But are we ready to have the Espinal conversation? Like, what is he doing on this team? Defensively, he makes that error to lose the game against the Red Sox. Like, he just three hops at the first. I don't know what that was. And then he tries to go Derek Jeter throw that just sails over Vladdy's head. What does he do? What does he provide for this team, Avery? What does Espinal provide for this team? He can't hit. He can't play defense right now. What does he do?
He was an all-star last year.
Is that the most fraudulent all-star in MLB history? I can't believe he was an all-star. I mean,
there's two players. Joe Mantiply was an all-star for Arizona last year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or Mantiply, I fucking forget how you say his name, but... We also have Yusei Kikuchi as an all-star 2 years ago.
The thing is, though, is like if Barger or guys in the minors were raking, you could make the argument like, oh, maybe we can bring that guy up and send Santee down to figure it out and play every day. Barger's not doing shit. I'm pretty sure he's injured now. He's not doing fuck all in the minors. A lot of these guys that are supposed to be performing, like Aroldis Martinez, is just terrible now. I'm not a prospect guy, but I've just been seeing tweets like that and stuff like that. It's just... I don't know. There's really no options beside that. Like, besides Espinal, you just play Whit, but George Springer's a band-aid right now, so you have to play Whit in the outfield. So I just don't know, man. I don't know how long the leash is going to be for Espinal, but he's terrible. He's absolutely just, he's hard to watch. He's on terrorist watch. He is. Yeah.
So you had to watch one player play for the rest of your life. Would it be Santiago Espinal or Kevin Biggio?
I think it'd be Kevin. Is that crazy to say?
Yeah. any answer is crazy to say, actually.
Yeah.
The fact that, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's just a loaded question.
I think that's where I stand with that. If you could have a second baseman for the rest of your life, who would it be? Espinal or Biggio? I don't know. I think Biggio is just like, he always has that like kind of pretty left-handed swing. You can kind of get a little bit out of him from there. I don't know where I stand with that. There's not really a right answer either.
No, there isn't. Both,
it's shit or rot shit. That's what it is. So. Yeah,
the thought of Gavin Biggio having a 370 OBP and a walk rate in the top 10% of the league will probably keep him in my lineup instead.
Yeah, and another thing that I want to talk about, we got to talk about the error that ended that game.
Yeah.
The overthrow heard around the world. What the flying hell was that from Bo Bichette? Bryce Harper just got off Tommy John. He is not running down the base. If you rewatch that video, Bo Bichette had a chance to touch second, get like maybe make a cup of coffee and then throw the ball. Bryce Harper wasn't even running down the line. Bo Bichette's playing hero ball and launches the baseball, not even in the same stratosphere as fucking Vladdy. And they said, we haven't talked about how good Bo's been at short. And then Blue Jays dad tweets, we haven't talked about how good Bo's been at short. Yeah, that's what happens. It just, the thing is, though, us as Jays fans, we have to understand he is so good at hitting that you have to live with how bad he can be defensively. That's the only thing.
He's playing some of his best, the best defense of his career, but it's just not great. He's lost arm strength too.
Really? What's the numbers on that?
So I don't know if this is, yeah, average. Okay. 2020, his max velo across the diamond, 86.4. Last or 2021, 90.1. Last year, 91. This season, 86.3. His average velocity across the diamond, 82.3, lowest of his career as well. But you look at the outs above average, actually okay, zero. So it's all right. Pretty decent going lateral towards third base. Not so good going glove side towards first base. But defensive runs saved-wise, Bo's, it's the best of his career because he hasn't saved a defensive run. He was negative 16 defensive runs saved last season.
Yeah.
If Bo Bichette was 30 years old, you could play him at second base after he got paid. Bo Bichette will put up, as he should, the biggest stink of all time if they try and move him off shortstop, because it's going to hurt his value in the free agent market.
Yeah, and for sure. And he's not going to want to do it. Let's call it what it is. He's not going to want to do it.
Nor should he want to do it.
Yeah.
You're one of the best shortstops in all of baseball. Can't play defense really worth a shit. You're doing an okay job this season. There's just literally no way you should even think about moving. But if you want a team win, like, fuck, would you put Andrelton Simmons at shortstop and then have him at second? That's probably better the defense, but he's been okay this year. And what? It was one bad throw, man. Come on.
It's such like an elevated bad throw where in the back of your mind.
Mm-hmm. If you did it in the first inning, no one would give a fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
So I think he's been okay this year, man. What, four errors so far this season? It's okay. Fielding percentage, best of his career besides the shortened 2020, where he only played 26 games.
For sure. Yeah, I guess we'll just leave it at that. It was just,
such a shitty spot. The worst way to end a baseball game. Wasn't even close to Vladdy. I saw some horrible takes on the internet about it.
Yeah, we just got to stop with these like Bo shit, Boba shit, or the fuck our TikTok comments have been lately. It makes me sick.
That is funny, actually.
So let's go into the series this weekend. Johnny Junta guys pitching Friday. Spencer Strider, front of the program. I said this on the spaces. The Jays are going to get like, they're going to get carved on Sunday against like the random shit bum they're throwing. And then they're going to rake against Spencer Strider. Call it what it is. This is the most Toronto Blue Jays waxing of all time that's going to be taking place tomorrow. You know, in your mind, the Jays, who just got carved by Nola and Wheeler, who have been struggling, are going to rake off of one of the best pitchers in baseball. Yeah, that's what this team does.
Top 1% of the league in strikeout rate. top 10%.
That's what this team does.
Rebounding average.
That's what this team does.
Yeah, and then Bryce Elder throws a perfect game.
They're going to beat him, and Chris Bosh is going to outpitch him. I promise you that. I promise you that. And I want someone to come back and clip this when that happens. They are going to rake off of Spencer Strider. And that, and you're going to see shit tomorrow. Like, Kevin Kiermaier is going to launch off him. It's just going to be the most random shit.
Kevin Biggio is going to be in the lineup and somehow like 2 for 3.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen tomorrow. That's going to happen tomorrow.
I wouldn't be mad about the Jays need this.
They need a nice, like, just a series win against a good team.
Are the Jays not in last place right now?
No, Yankees are. They just lost 8-0 today to the Rays again.
Hell yeah. Well, we should call this episode last place anyways.
No. We'll figure out a funny.
Feels like last place.
I think the it'll be something about brotherly love. Like the, yeah, we'll figure something out. But yeah, I think the Jays are going to lose. They're going to win game one, win game two. I hate to say it. I'm going back-to-back wins against two of Johnny Junta guys, Bryce Elder and Spencer Strider. And then they're going to lose on Kikuchi Corner Day on Sunday.
Ugh. That makes me sick.
Actually, I'm going to reverse it. Win Friday, win Sunday, lose Saturday. Because I'll be there. And by the way, for everyone listening, Kikuchi Corner is a full go. Kikuchi Corner is a full go on Sunday. I already have followers DMing me, reaching out. Can we make the K's? Go ahead. I'm not making the K's. I'll bring the Japan flag. I'll buy a Japan flag Saturday morning or something. But you make the K's. I'm not doing the 80 K's. All right? I can't do it anymore. My hands can't take it. So if you want to do it, go ahead and do it. I'll be bringing the Japan flag. And we'll go from there. But yeah, I don't remember who the Braves announced is going Sunday, but I do know it's like some random guy. I really want the Jays to win this series because the Braves are so goddamn good. It would just be an all-time tire pump.
That's another sick lineup. And Ronald Acuña Jr. might be the best player in all of baseball.
He's absurd. He is absurd. I was watching him play the other day, I think. And it's runner on second and extra innings. Pop fly to right. He tried to go on him. Ronald Acuña just flicked his wrist and just threw him out by 20 feet at third base. It's absurd what this guy does. So it's going to be – it's cool, man. We haven't got to see the Braves in a while. I wish Tyler Matzik was here, obviously. That'd be fucking awesome. But, yeah, it's going to be awesome to see Braves Blue Jays at the Rogers Center. We haven't seen that in a really long time. So just see different players like Matt Olson's going to be here. Spencer Strider, like – that game tomorrow is going to be unbelievable. I think that game tomorrow is going to be like 2 hours, like just two pitchers that just absolutely carve. Yeah. So I'm excited for Hound Dog Day tomorrow. So, but I am going to say though, the series is going to be 2-1.
Okay. I'll go 1-2. I don't know. I don't feel good about it.
I don't like where
this team's at right now. And I don't think they win the Spencer Strider start. I know it would be very Blue Jays, but you kind of just got carved by two guys with really good stuff. Again, and Strider might have better stuff than Nola and Wheeler, so I'm kind of worried.
It's not might, he does. Yeah, that guy is insane. Insane. I'm gonna say though, I'm going to the game Saturday and Sunday, so I am pumped to just see these guys live.
I'm going to see a Johnny Junta guy on Saturday with my Who? Parents. So I'm going to. We got 9 rows behind the plate. Marlins game. Nick Lodolo, Sandy Alcantara. Like $19 a seat.
Should I tell Nick you can meet up with Nick, get a nice little picture on the fucking, that's my guy. You can get a picture with him.
It's bump day for him. We'll let him be.
All right. Yeah, that's fine. I respect that. So obviously we did the series predictions. Let's go to the losers of the week. There was tons of them. Let's be very clear here. A guy that's like just continuously, and we talked about this. I'm not going to beat a dead horse's episode. John Schneider is my loser of the week.
Yeah.
Obviously. Two absolute minuscule brain dead blunders that this guy made. He's my loser of the week. Who's your loser of the week?
Air Canada Rouge. What a horrible way to fly, man.
What is that?
It's like the worst Air Canada planes. They're so, like, I'm a bigger guy. The seats are so small, so crammed right into each other. Horrible airline. Air Canada Rouge is my loser of the week. And humidity. Fuck humidity in Miami, man. It's disgusting.
Yeah. So wait a second. So what's the outfit saying here for my, are you a sweat guy? Are you a big sweat guy?
Yeah, I'm a big sweat guy.
So what's the deal here with the humidity? Cause I'm assuming it is hot there, right?
I'm a dark clothes guy. never wear gray.
Okay. So that's the playbook for you.
Yeah, usually. Some breathable items I brought along with me. Like golf shirts are nice, I think. Very American too. You throw golf shirt on with some khaki pants and some of that. But no, I got to decide what I'm going to wear because there's going to be a lot of time out in the sun for the rest of this trip watching my brother's team play because no way Evan pitches this weekend.
And another thing, just some house cleaning here. Sunday's Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Just so everyone's aware, if you're listening to this, I want you to tweet at us what you got your mother for Mother's Day. I want to see some of these gifts here. I want to hold our listeners accountable. And I'm not saying that because I want to see what your guys' mothers looks like. Make sure your mother's not in the shot. I wouldn't hate that if she was in the shot, if she's above average looking. But just remember, it's Mother's Day on Sunday. Embrace it. Love it. If it wasn't for her, you wouldn't be on the planet. I got my mother a beautiful gift, $200 gift card to the winery. She got a nice little wine tour for her. Credit to me. Thank you, Johnny.
I haven't done anything yet.
So that's what I'm doing. Make sure you guys are doing that. Let's show some fucking respect for your mother. Show us the gifts. And maybe we'll pick some. Maybe we'll pick who got the best one. Maybe we'll do something for you. So just show us the gifts and go from there. But another thing that I wanted to talk about. So we had a submission by our guy, Kyle Treats, big Buffalo Bills fan.
Fuck good Buffalo, man.
Yeah. So he is Corona Love segment. I've talked to this girl for a while, and she said she wants to go to a Jays game with me. One issue, she doesn't want to sit in the Corona Lounge because she wants to be closer to the field to see Bo and Kevin. Is Kevin Kiermaier going to steal my girl and subsequently?
I'm not going to tell you what the word is.
Am I fucked too? Do I choose to find love at Schneider's porch? Thank you. Let me make this as clear as possible.
Can't sit in the outfield, dude.
And I said this on stream. I would be honored if my wife or future wife took down Bo Bichette or Kevin Kiermaier. I would be fucking honored because that means she has impeccable taste and that I am kind of in the same league as those two guys. Right? Is that crazy to say?
No, you're spot on there.
So that's where I kind of get away with it, where it's like, all right, good for her. Let's go. 100%. But yeah, if she doesn't want to go to the Corona Lounge, that's kind of cheating, by the way, because you have to find love there. You can't, right? You can't be doing that.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Johnny. You're right. You're right on that.
You can't bring sand to the beach. Is that what the saying is? You have to find love there.
Yes.
So I want to make that clear. And if she wants to get closer to Kevin and Bo, then that means she's attracted to those looking dudes. Maybe you're up there with them. So that's where I kind of stand with that. With that question. Great question. So, yeah, let's end it off here with this. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. Go Leafs go. I actually want to talk about this. Are the Leafs dead? Or,
nope.
Like, is it just, like the little pulse thing? Going back home, where are you at with that?
I have game six tickets. I want them to win so bad so I can watch them play.
Are you going to hedge your happiness, though? Like, if I'm you,
no.
Maybe bet the Panthers so it's like, all right, I get my money back, and two, I can't see them. At least I'm making money off this. Where do you stand with that?
I won't hedge. I won't do it.
So you're going to be watching tomorrow on pins and needles.
Yeah, I'm going to be at my brother's game too, so I'll be on.
Is it Saturday the game or tomorrow?
Friday.
I think it's Saturday.
No, Friday. They wouldn't go back to back because they play in Florida on Sunday night.
Okay, cool. All right. So when are you going to be landing back home?
Monday morning at like 10.
Okay, so we can record on Sunday. Okay.
Yeah, cool. I got a nice little lab here. They had a monitor that's the exact same monitor that I have at home. So it's nice little area here.
You're back. We will see you all on Monday. Saturday, Sunday, I'll be at the game. So if you're there, say what's up. Say what's up to the kid. Say what's up to the boy. Gate 14 forever, Blue Jays forever. Let's bounce back here. Let's get a win. Let's figure something out, for Christ's sakes. Please, Toronto, I'm begging you. Love you guys.